There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street-smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table, and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun, as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc, and it starts now. Welcome back. I'm Mark Anthony, the psychic, and I'm with my amazing co-host, Dr. Pat Basile.
We have a very
special guest, Chris DiPerno. So, Chris, before we get to Dr. Pat's question, which is a great question, you went from being a police detective, no-nonsense skeptic, to not only a believer in extraterrestrials, but an investigator.
Correct.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, and tell people what investigator means now. And the reason I want you to do this, because, you know, my cousin, police chief over there in Ramsey, New Jersey, if I don't ask this question, I'm going to get a million emails from him. Let's just tell people the depth and the breadth of what that means to be an investigator, if you don't mind, Chris.
Sure. Well, there's actually two different things. There's a detective and an investigator. I was a criminal detective, a detective, NYPD. Syracuse PD, a lot of places have the titles of detective. The only real difference is that a detective is more proactive. A lot of them will go out and seek the crimes and also investigate them. Investigators, the crime has already happened in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, if they stumble on something, they're going to take care of it. But they usually take cold cases or cases that already have happened and investigate it from there. Detectives do the same thing, but they actually try to be more proactive in what they're doing. We would get assigned cases, major cases like homicides and shootings, stabbings, and work on that and see if we can jump off of that and see if there's another case attached to it. You know, something goes on with that. So that's exactly what detectives and investigators do. They put puzzles together and find out who did it.
And from that background, though, you know, Mark, let's get to your conversation about this, because, see, that was like a mouthful, right? See what he just said right there. That was like, oh, there's like the word, and then there's like the thing. So he just gave us like the thing.
So how did you make the jump from police work to the Mutual UFO Network?
Well, when I was a cop, I used to terribly tease other cops if they saw something in the sky. I mean, it was just not accepted to do that. It's like I would, you know, probably hang flying saucer pictures on their lockers or hang them from the walls or, you know, draw pictures of aliens and stuff because I didn't believe it. I had no idea. But, you know, when you work the night shift, a lot of cops would come in and say, "Well, I saw something strange in the sky." And they wouldn't report it. And they wouldn't tell people. But from that, I kind of got this instinct saying, hey, I got to figure out what the hell is going on with this thing. But I'm not going to do it while I'm doing police work because, you know, I would get the same kind of razzing as I was giving others. So when I retired, I said, OK, I'm going to debunk this. I actually had it in mind to debunk UFOs because I thought they got to be top secret military planes. They got to be something the U.S. government's working on or natural phenomena. So I joined the Mutual UFO Network in order to start that type of process. And then I started getting cases into this stuff. And I started getting videos and stuff. And I said, okay, here's my chance to debunk it. And then I send the videos to experts who can break it down, or photos that break it down. And they coming back, no, that's the real deal, Chris. That's not a military plane. And I go, you're kidding me. No. And so I went and physically went to interview these people, sit there, because I was trained to as an interrogator. My specialty in police work was an interview and interrogator. So I would sit down and watch their body language as they're telling these stories. And I would watch to see their eyes. You know, I would get into the neuro-linguistics and the everything about their eyes, how they move and stuff like that, if they're trying to create something. And these people were being straightforward with me. They're like saying, hey, you know, this guy's not lying. He actually either had a craft land in his backyard. So then you try to find the physical evidence to it.
Yeah.
And you get radiation readings. You get indentations in the ground that were exact measurements. And you kind of go, there's something to this.
Yeah.
So I mean, go ahead, Dr. Pat. Well, we have an interesting angle here, because we're going to start talking about alien abductions. And there's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And we got the best panel here for that. We got Dr. Pat, who is an expert in working with people with post-traumatic stress disorder. We have a police detective UFO investigator. And in my work as an attorney and as a psychic medium, I definitely deal with people reeling from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, we could talk all night about the government releasing information on UFOs last year. But let's get to people who have been or who claim to have been abducted. Can you tell us about an incident there and the after effects of it?
And I want to add a part two to that question, because there's a part two to the question. And the part two to the question is the PTSD you get from nobody believing you. You know, there's a PTSD from the event, you know, and Chris, want to hear from you. But you also know that there's nothing worse than having an experience and nobody will believe you. And, you know, when you put those two together, that is the 1-2 punch that will bring people down. Right, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% right, doctor. The PTSD is an amazing to these people because, I'll explain about that during the whole thing. Is that when they get abducted and screen memories are put in, or certain types of memories are actually implanted into them, they become very scared of those memories. And it takes a dramatic effect. And there's the residual effects of that. You know, that some people will sleep against a wall. Some people will have to look at their blinds. Some people will go every night to lock their doors, pull their shades, because they're scared they're going to come back.
Yeah. And and these are, let's just talk about these nuances for a minute if we could, because we're not even talking about what we now know multi-generationally. And that is what happens when those folks have children. That's a whole different show, right? But that is a thing.
Absolutely. And this is the scariest part. I had one abductee who's so frightened because he's been abducted several times and he's had side effects. He's actually lost weight. He's constantly dehydrated. Mm. He has a significant amount of, he can't retain salt. His salt intake is just absolutely, he's got a bowl that he actually sticks his finger in at nighttime to just craving salt all the time. But he is so scared because he's understood that one of his parents were an abductee. He's become an abductee, and his child has now become an abductee. Mm-hmm. And what happens is he's trying to protect his child because now his child is frightened from this.
Yeah.
And this is a very, very scary experience. I call it kidnap and assault.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people call it experience or abduction. It's a crime. If you look at this, if I was to go in somebody's house at 2:00 in the morning, take them out or take their child out, I would be in prison for 25 years. Now we can put
it. And it's not just that they take these people. I've done readings for a number of people who said that they were abductees, and the information that came through was uncanny. And there's something that I wanted to bring up is, in every reading that I've done for an abductee, their spirits, all right, so I'm doing a reading for an abductee, and the spirits connected to that person come through, and they always say that they targeted you because of your cellular structure and how you metabolize protein. Correct. And I remember the first time we talked, Chris, I mentioned that to you, and you were like, oh my God. Now, why oh my God?
Well, oh my God is because protein is very important to them. And if you see some of the things that they are doing, first of all, the information that I got about the grays is that they do not metabolize protein like we do. They actually, from the information I received, is that the one gray that they have at S4 down at Area 51, they had to bring in a bunch of botanists because they can't metabolize it as we do. And so they have to rub, they have to create a protein paste and rub it onto their skin and have the protein absorbed through their skin. So they're very interested in how we absorb protein. Now, I say that because in the hybridization process, they take all kinds of samples. And my theory is that in the hybridization process, that they are taking away from the alien way of taking protein into the body and using our way. Our way to them is probably much more efficient. And so when they hybridize a human, they want to have that type of protein assimilation into them rather than the way they do it. And yeah, that's why you see the cattle mutilations, because, you know, people ask me, why are they taking the intestines? Why aren't they taking the filet mignons, the T-bones? And I said the same thing. I go, these guys don't know what a good cut of steak is, you know? And I'm like, man, I gotta, for somebody who's got the geniuses to come light years to come here, they can't figure it out. But then I started researching the cow's intestines, believe it or not. And we eat cow's intestines, call it fried.
Yeah, we do.
You know, and so, and it's chock full of protein. But it has phosphates, it has nitrates, it has B12. So if they are really stuck on the protein, which I think they are, what better way to get it than through a cow's intestines?
Yeah. I mean, part of this, look, there are so many questions, and we have really gotten a number of our callers that want to really just speak with you, Chris.
Sure.
They've got some questions for you. So I want to turn it back over to, if I could, I want to get right back over there to Jacob. And Jacob, let's bring on our first caller before we go to break. I can't wait to hear what the question is.
Sounds great. We've got Luis calling in from Florida. Hi there, Luis.
Hi, Luis. What do you have for our very special guest here, Chris?
Hey, Louise, you're on air on the Psychic and the Doc.
Hello there. Good evening. I apologize why I've been waiting online. I haven't been able to hear much of the discussion, so I hope my comments or questions aren't out of line. I grew up listening to my father talk about the balls of lightning or St. Elmo's fire that they attributed to walking with him on the beat at night. But that was a little bit of something that we grew up with. The question I have for you, sir, though, many of the abductees report loss of time, the elements of time. And I wondered if there has ever been any discussion, knowing that velocity being acceleration and time, everybody talks about trying to travel faster than light. Do you think maybe the abductees have given us a clue that perhaps it isn't the element of distance that people have to worry about, but do we think perhaps those we encounter have some ability to manipulate time?
Yes. That is a great question, Louise. Yes. Let me explain something that we are actually working on now. Everybody knows about missing time. So a person gets abducted and they can't remember what happened to them for 2 or 3 hours. But here's the thing that we're working on now called the suspension of time. And it's happening to pilots, fighter pilots. They go up and they encounter a UFO and they say, oh my God, look at this thing. It's flying all over the place. And they come back and they say, I only encountered this thing for 5 minutes. But the radar operator, the captain, the flight officer goes, you've been up there with it for a half an hour, 45 minutes. What do you mean 5 minutes? Here's the kicker. The gas or the fuel that they use for the fighter jet only registered enough for 5 minutes of flight. So they're able to suspend time. So your question is awesome. Now, here's the thing with the suspension of time. They're conscious. We're missing time. You're not conscious. You're not sure what happened, and you have to go back in your memory. In the suspension of time, you're conscious, but you're not aware how long it is. Does that answer your question, Lisa?
Yes, it does. I thank you very much for taking the time to do that.
Okay,
I just wondered because, I really am enjoying the show, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Jacob, why don't we take a quick break? And for those of you out there, we are taking your calls and questions for Chris right now. 1-800-930-2819. Please do one thing for us. Turn off your radio in the background. You'll be able to hear the show on your phone as you're on hold. So let's make sure we do that. When we come back, we've got more callers for Chris. Let's get it rolling here, everybody. We'll be right back.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Obert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Obert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobert.com. That's drkathyobert.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Mark Anthony, welcome back to The Psychic and the Doc. I'm with my co-host, Dr. Pat Basile, and our special guest for the 75th anniversary of the mysterious Roswell incident is UFO investigator Chris DiPerno. Chris, you brought up an interesting point. Now, we got a caller, and we're going to get to the caller in a second. But when we're talking about the people who've been abducted, and after the abduction, they crave protein and salt. And you were talking about how it appears that one of the alien species, the Greys, I understand there's the reptilians, there's several different species that have been identified.
Yes.
That they are engaged, you kept using the word hybridization. Now, hybridization, as I understand it, would mean or suggest that these aliens are selecting particular humans or families of humans because of how they metabolize protein. And if that's what they're doing, are they blending that DNA with their own, ergo creating a hybrid, a human alien mixture? Is that what you're saying?
You're right on the money, Mark. It's more than just the protein. It's the actual ability, how they can use their mind for telepathic messages. We find out that people who have been abducted have an unusual ability to enhance their psychic abilities, to enhance their able to use their telepathic ability, and somehow or another, they enhance it. Well, they take my theory is that they're taking these traits, like the telepathic message ability, the protein and stuff, and mixing it with their DNA, and creating a hybridization process where they'll look like us, they'll act like us, they'll walk, talk, and everything else like us, but they're not us. And we wouldn't know them if we passed them across the street.
Wow, that's amazing. And Dr. Pat, do you want to take the caller? But I want to get into...
No, let's keep talking. I'm not quite sure if we're ready yet. Let's just keep rolling because there's a lot of information that I would love for Chris to share.
Yeah, Chris, first off, how do people get hold of you? Was that through the MUFON website, M-U-F-O-N?
Yeah, the Mutual UFO Network has a website. And if you see chapters, I'm the state director for the New York chapter. So they can go there and get my email and be able to contact me through that. And I'll be happy to respond to them. Mm-hmm. And if they have a situation that they want to talk to me about, I'll get their phone number, call them. We can talk about it, see if there's anything that, you know, we can. What we want to do now is collect as much data and evidence as possible, because we know the U.S. government has been secretly, quietly investigating alien abduction. Now, why? Because alien abductees have been coming back with not only injuries, but physical effects. And these physical effects are very similar to a thing that was created here on Earth called the Havana syndrome. You know, white spots on the brain, you know.
All right, hold on. Hold that thought. Let's explain what Havana syndrome is first, if okay, because see, a lot of people may not know what that sure. is. You want me to give a Cliff Notes version?
It's up to you, Mark. You okay. can roll or I can roll.
All right. At the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, and Cuba is not a friendly country to the U.S., and at other embassies, U.S. embassies around the world, oftentimes in countries that are openly hostile to the U.S., there have been a number of employees there who've come away with tinnitus, ringing in the ears, nausea, and brain damage, and it appears that they are being subjected to highly concentrated electromagnetic energy, basically energy weapons, specifically for the purpose of causing brain damage. Okay, Chris, back to you.
Okay. The frequencies that they're using are microwave frequencies that were actually developed by the Russians in 1952. They actually destroyed a Russian ambassador, an American ambassador back then and stuff. And you're exactly right. They used the same thing in Havana, Cuba to do that. So what we're seeing is that the traits, the physical injuries of the Havana syndrome are very similar to people who've had physical injuries of abductions. Now, when people come back from abductions, they say, my God, I'm getting headaches. I'm having nausea. I'm having symptoms. I can't think. My mind is always in a fog. They get an MRI, and the MRI starts to show white spots on their brain. And we believe, I believe, that frequencies, as you know, Mark, and you know much more about frequencies than I do, but frequencies are extremely important when it comes to consciousness, communication, right. and everything else.
Everything's frequency. So these people come back from these experiences and they have physical and psychological damage. Now, Dr. Pat, PTSD, not only do we have physical injury, and which includes the mental injury, but post-traumatic stress. And you brought up an interesting yeah. point. There's not just the trauma from the incident, but there's the trauma. It's like being raped and then nobody yeah. believes you that you were raped. What are the long-term effects of that, Dr. Pat?
Well, I think there are a couple. And Heidi, we're going to get right to you in a minute. I think there are a couple. First of all, I want to get back to what Chris said. And if we understand the research methods, if we just understand, if you're doing a study, if you understand what a research method is or what a research approach is on anything, we use it in the medical profession. Anything that's researched has one thing in common. In order for you to get a long-term effect, they have to do a longitudinal study. And what does that mean? that they take a look at you at year one. My friend studied careers in China for 20 years. And you do study number one, and then you get the results of that. But then those same people, you have to have the same people. Then you do the study either a year later, 2 years later. Now, if we use that approach in our society because we're trying to track changes over time, then why does it get so hard for us to believe that the same people can get abducted more than once? See, that's one of the greatest denials. That's really tough. That's part of PTSD, right, Chris?
Absolutely, when, doctor. Yeah, you're right on the money.
Right? When it comes to it's that. Like people are like, yes, it happened to me again. Same thing with rape victims, you know, but we're talking about science for a minute. And if we are being studied and you study anything over time with people, you can't do a study over time and study person on day one and then go get a new person. So scientific method explains that. But the other thing that you brought up, Chris, and Mark, you as well, there is a ripple effect here. You might say tsunami. And first the person has to come to grips with the truth of what may have happened to them. So that's hard, right, Chris? I mean, just the fact where you're like, what just happened?
And doctor, you're so right. And here's the problem is that how do you come to grips with flashbacks or partial memories or memories that don't make sense? For instance, you've been abducted by an owl or a deer. I had a case where a person says, Chris, I had some missing time, but just prior to that missing time, a deer was staring into my window. I go, well, you kind of live out in the country. Could a deer have gone? Chris, the window's on the second floor. I go, that's not a deer. You know, I mean, obviously a deer can't float up in the air and stare at you from the second floor. But how do you deal with the idea that you're looking at a deer or an owl or a giant rabbit or an alien that's constantly coming every 6 months or a year or 2 years. And then you have that time elapse where, you know, it's coming again, and they know it's coming again.
Yeah. And then let's talk about some of the other things that we can't really wrap our minds around, because there are some things that people then behave differently. Their behavior changes. And it changes. And at first, it may not. Maybe you can talk to this, Chris, and then we're going to go to Heidi. You know, I think when people see this, they look at this and they say something like, well, why did it take them a year to have that show up? Well, come on. We know so much about PTSD in the military. And, you know, Annie, and I've worked with the Veterans Association. I have a family history of vets, came back from multiple wars. You're fortunate if all of the PTSD symptoms show up at once, and you're not so fortunate at the same time. But you may come back and you may not know things. You mentioned missing time, but then you may have odd behavior, right? Where you're standing there and your wife says, honey, sit down to the table, and you can't let go of the wall. And you know, your partner is like, well, honey, sit down and eat dinner with us. And he or she is like, can you bring me my plate up? And you're standing on the wall, right?
Oh, absolutely, doctor. And it's not only that. We see that abductees all of a sudden have sleepwalking.
Oh.
And then they'll wake up and they have no idea why they're in the kitchen.
None.
Or they for some reason, they got to get up and lock every door in the place. Pull down the shades and look through the shades, and they have this fear, but they can't comprehend the fear, doctor. And you know more about that than I. They know something is scaring them to death.
Yep.
And then they develop an addictive behavior.
That's it. There we go.
And it constantly goes over and over and over again. And that's PTSD in a nutshell, right, ma'am?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, we could do a whole show on addictive behavior as a result. Of abductees. Yeah. Mark, let's go to the phone. Heidi has been waiting so patiently. Heidi, do me a favor, turn off your radio in the background. We'd love to hear from you. What is your question? Jacob, let's make it happen.
Sounds good. She's connected right now.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome to the Psychic and the Doc.
Hey, can you all hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear.
Good. All right. Well, I will say that I was apprehensive to listen to the show today because of the, quote, terrifying abduction part of the, you know, the promotion. And I've been working really hard to dispel fear around, I'll just say, ETs or star beings, because I don't really know if I would think they're all bad. I've recently come across the CE5 initiative, which is human initiated contact, and it is a peaceful, like, meditation spiritual practice. I'm brand new to this, but I guess I don't know really what to believe here. And
wow. Good.
I don't think I've had an abduction experience, but I sent a couple pictures into, I don't know who got them, Transformation Talk Radio Messenger. I did get a photo. Both times I've gotten photos of UFOs, I was not seeing anything with the naked eye. And I saw one recently, and I sent the pictures. I don't know if you're able to see them.
Yeah,
but,
I'm having Jacob get them right now.
Okay.
Here's what I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say something to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the courage to call into the show.
Absolutely.
I got to thank you.
Okay.
I got to thank you for the courage to call into the show, because me and my profession, you know, we are not allowed to talk about this stuff. I'm just telling you. You know, I have been blacklisted from more colleges, but I'll tell you this. There are some things that we cannot understand or explain, but I love that you don't know what you don't know, because you've called in to talk to the right person, Chris DiPerna. And the reason I love that you don't know what you don't know, because you're an open vessel, right? However, I'm going to kick it to Chris now. You ready? You do know something.
Yes, you do.
So you don't know what you don't know,
right?
But you do know something, because you call it Chris, right?
Absolutely. Well, let me, what a wonderful question, Heidi. And let me explain one thing. There's a difference between an extraterrestrial and a star child. A star child, from what I've been taught, is a reincarnated person, maybe from another planet. For instance, I was studying about a Russian child who claimed he lived on Mars. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He knew more about astronomy and the universe at 8 years old than most college professors teach in astronomy. So the star child is something different. It's like a reincarnation of somebody. And they're not evil. They're not bad. They're here to actually help us. And this is what he said. Now, getting to the extraterrestrials, not all extraterrestrials are bad. We do have extraterrestrials who look at the Earth and say, you know, this is a great natural planet that you have. It's a wonderful thing. We want to enhance you, make you better, and work with you, you know, in their way of doing it. But then we have species just like we have on Earth. Extraterrestrial species that say, we want the planet. We don't care about these little human ants running around. You know, they're primitive to us. As we know in our history, we have met civilizations that were more advanced than the other one. They come in and they go, hey, we're going to take over your land. We're going to destroy you and everything else. And this could be a possibility of what the hybridization program is all about, is that what a simple way to take over the planet is to create their own species to take over this without anybody firing a shot. Because as I explained to Mark, what would we do as what the primitive stuff we would have? If we had an alien invasion, we would go to nuclear war. We would start nuking places.
Yeah.
With a hybridization program, putting their own people on the planet.
Yeah, because if we nuked the planet, then it wouldn't be usable to them. Yeah. So it's very interesting. So,
I have a question for Chris.
Yeah.
Because I want to give Heidi some help. And I'm not that person on this topic. Because Heidi, thank you again, calling in, opening herself up. And there are things she should be mindful and aware of and should know, right? And so I would love two things. One, let's make sure she gets the website. But when you're working with somebody, Chris, like Heidi, that is called in and is having experiences, maybe doesn't have a whole lot of information about this, what guidance might you say to her?
Well, first of all, we're great listeners. We would first listen to this story and dissect it and be able to understand what she's going through, how she's going through it. Uh-huh. That would be the very first thing you got to do. You got to listen to the person and able to understand what they're going through. And the amazing thing about the experiencer research team, which is part of MUFON, we have what we call the ERT team, the experiencer research team, which are all abduction specialists, which I'm on. I'm an abduction specialist. Is that we have psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors on that team. And if we think that it's something that should be referred to them, we would pass you off to a medical professional like that. Or we would say, hey, listen, we think that we should get you to a psychologist. You know, you should go to your psychologist, your medical person and stuff. Yeah. But we do have medical people on our team that are absolutely excellent. And they can dissect the story much better than I can.
Yeah. Heidi, I since you may have another question, do you want to get it out here now?
I'm good. I don't feel like I have PTSD or a negative abduction experience, but I think there, who knows what's possible, right?
Yes. And by the way, PTSD is one element. That. Yeah, not everybody gets PTSD. So I just want to be clear about that, okay? There are multiple reasons that we don't have a lot of time in this show. We should do a show on this, where PTSD can be triggered from a past life. Just saying, we've had people tell us that. Yeah. It can be triggered because of the nature of something. And what I mean by the unusual nature, but here's a thought. If you get abducted, and I'm going to let you go, Heidi, and then Chris is going to have to answer this question, and Mark. But it's like people that work with Mark. If you're working with an element that you believe in to begin with, and you're comfortable with that belief, when you actually don't have to call Mark Anthony anymore, and you're speaking to somebody that's crossed over, it will not cause PTSD because in your own consciousness and subconsciousness, you're already aligned with the possibility. And I'm not talking about like a Freudian alignment of the subconscious. I'm talking about an in-depth, you know, Dr. Catherine, who was on the show today, that level of alignment. And so not everybody may get PTSD. So I just want you to hold on to that because, see, we do this thing here. This makes me crazy. We do this thing with labels all the time. And if you don't have the label, it means you're excluded from the experience. Heidi, you're not excluded, okay? You feel me, sister?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We're going to get to Chris. He's got to answer this one.
Okay.
I was so entailed with your thing. I forgot the question.
But here's the thing. If we have an experience, look, I grew up with ghosts and I used to draw them and I used to have dreams. I mean, don't even get me started about the whole alien picture dreaming thing. So by the time I was 8 years old, and if I'd had that experience, I mean, my first experience with literally seeing people that were, what's your phrase, that were on the other side or moved beyond, I was 8 years old, but I was not scared because something happened to me previously. So we want to put everybody as PTSD, but PTSD is very subjective. It is unique. It's to everybody. Isn't it possible, Chris, that you could have this experience? However, the experience to you may or may not be traumatic.
Oh yeah,
we've
go. Right.
Right, Heidi, right? Heidi's doing
right. Yeah, right. And stuff. We've had people call and say, I was able to hold a hybrid child. I knew this was my child. It was the most wonderful, loving feeling I've ever had. And other people said that they've had classes. My good friend who is in Arizona, he was abducted as a child. Nothing traumatic. They were actually teaching him how to move objects, colored objects, different colored objects, with his mind. So as I said, we're not under attack by extraterrestrials when I say this, because there are good ones out there that we had people who've had experience with,
yep,
that have had more of a teaching program, an understanding program. But then we have, like you say, there's good and bad in everything. We have of the bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chris, thank you for that. Heidi, thank you so much. Mark, I want to kick it back to you, right? Because, you know, I did mention your area of expertise and body of work. And, you know, part of this is, you know, when I got older, the concept of seeing people in my home, that what is the language we call them? We call them ghosts for common language. Right. Let's just use that term.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time I got to that experience, they didn't have to send me to Dr. Jacoby. They sent me to Dr. Jacoby because I thought I was lying. But in the realm of what you've seen, Mark, and you've seen, Chris, don't we have to be open to multiple possibilities here?
Oh,
because it's not a one size fits all like we have been seeing in our pop culture and media.
If I can, then I'll wait. Yes, absolutely. That's a great question, Dr. Pat, because that would also be assuming that everything in the universe is perceptible through our five physical senses of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. And now we know this is absolutely an incorrect assessment. According to NASA, over 90% of the universe is dark matter, meaning it is not perceptible to our senses. So if 90% of existence is beyond our ability to perceive, it is naive, ignorant, and downright stupid to think that, you know, there aren't these possibilities. So that's my take on it.
Yeah. Chris, how about Chris? You?
Well, I will tell you, there's two most important words in my vocabulary now that I didn't have before. One is consciousness, and consciousness covers everything. Your consciousness of the spirit world or the spirit, your consciousness of the ET, multidimensional, you know, different things. And you have to open your mind to the consciousness of this fantastic universe we live in, multidimensional, everything. And the other word is frequencies. You have to be in tune to that consciousness by different frequencies. Some frequencies are harmful. And this is more of a thing for Mark to answer, because he's in tune to those frequencies where I'm not. But frequencies are extremely important. It's going to be extremely important to the human race.
Oh, they are. And it appears that the great advancement within the 21st century in medical technology is energy healing. In other words, taking damaged or diseased cells and through the use of energy medicine to raise its vibration, because the vibration of a diseased cell, like a cancer cell, is much lower than a healthier cell. Now, that ties into what you were talking about, Chris. The Havana syndrome is a misuse of electromagnetic of microwave energy to damage cells. And so what you're seeing in the debriefing of abductees is damage to their tissue, which is similar to what happens in the Havana syndrome. But I also wanted to ask you, you know, because we jumped ahead and got to the energy damage to these people. What about physical injuries,
mm-hmm,
cuts, right, bruises, intrusions? Mm. What have you? And I know that you sent us some pictures, but what can you describe for our audience about those?
Well, first of all, we have the hypothesis, the theory that some of these experiments that are being done are extremely traumatic, and they're awake. They may not remember it. And we see finger bruising on people, especially. It's the same way as I would look at an assault person or a rape victim or something like that. Mm-hmm. I would see their arms being held down, so much pressure that you could see the finger bruising on their forearms or their legs. And that's very suspicious to us. We say, wait a minute, this person woke up and they got, you know, four finger bruisings on their legs and things of that nature. We see identifying marks like a precise triangle that we look at and go, wow, that is exactly the same measurement on site. So that had to be some kind of instrument, You know, it wasn't just like, well, I'll pick here, pull there, put that there, needle. It had to be an absolute instrument against their skin, penetrating their skin. And then the other thing that we're seeing is that some people are coming back with a brand that does not go away for some period of time. And then we see the dehydration of people, the weight loss of people, the cravings of certain proteins and salt. And then we see, here's the most scariest thing, Mark, and it's not everybody, but people will tell me, Chris, I've been downloaded with something.
Yeah.
And I cannot get what it is, but all I know is that when the right time comes, this download will open up. And we have no idea what this is. We have no idea what they've been downloaded. We know that some people get dreams that they've never had before, like dreams of nuclear destruction, dreams of a nuclear war and stuff that they've never dreamed about
before. Could it be possible they're implanting something like perhaps a chip that, in other words, it makes it easy for them to locate? And the reason that I say this, when you're talking about the dehydration, and think about when biologists go out and they'll shoot a dart into a grizzly bear, and then they go and start taking blood samples and all this, and they tag it and put a chip in. Same thing with sharks. They'll pull a shark out of the water and they'll tag this. So when I start hearing and working with the abductees, what they go through sounds an awful lot about like what humans do to other species on this planet. You know, we don't worry about the psychic trauma when we go out and we, you know, shoot a dart into a giraffe and start tagging it. And so we're having this superior intelligence, these aliens doing the same thing. But they may be implanting something that would make it easier for them to locate these individuals. Has there been any discussion in your circles about that?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you explained it much better than I have. They look at us like because we're not the big boys on the block anymore. We're a primitive species to them. So they treat us like we would treat a giraffe or a bear or something. Let's tag it, bag it, and put it back, and let's track it. So they're scientists too. That's how they, I mean.
Exactly. That was my point.
We're lab rats.
Exactly. Yeah. We're a petri dish to them.
You know, and Calvin Parker, who's one of the considered the most reliable abductee on record, and I've got to work with him quite a bit, and he was a 19-year-old by his admission, redneck, fishing at Pascagoula, Mississippi, when this spaceship came out of the sky and took him and his friend. He said, we were caught in this beam of light. We couldn't move, and these robotic things took them out. He said, Mark, when it was done, and this, that was not the only time they did this to him, he said, I felt like I was nothing more than a lab rat. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they do chip us. They do put implants. Dr. Lear, before he passed away, took several implants out. I sent a couple photos. Maybe some other time we can get and show those photos or whatever. But here's the amazing thing about those things. They will give off a radio frequency. And they move. There have been people who've tried to take them out, and they move through the body where you can't get to them. So the technology is so amazing that the body will not reject it. It will move to keep it preserved. And people know that they're implanted because they'll have, like you said, tinnitus and other things.
Right, Chris, unfortunately, we're out of time. And Dr. Pat and I will be back next week. If you want to find out about Chris, go to the Mutual UFO Network website. I'm also inviting everyone to go to my website, afterlifefrequency.com. I got 2 spirit communication events coming up. And the amazing Dr. Pat will be back next week with me. And we're doing a call-in show for readings and the advice from Dr. Pat. Mm-hmm. On behalf of everyone at The Psychic and the Doc, thank you, everyone. And keep
thanks,
watching
Chris.
The sky.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat but silly, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems? Yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.